Hello, I'm Sid Bhattacharjee, founder and chief executive of Sapphire Capitals. Trading decisions are often influenced by opinions, emotions, and individual market outcomes. But what happens when you step back and look at trading through the lens of data, probability, and statistical evidence? That's the question behind our new podcast series hosted by Alex and Sam. Across a number of episodes, they will explore positive expectancy and four areas of market analysis: seasonality, price action, volume spike, and intraday seasonality. They will examine how historical data can be used to understand recurring market behavior, how probability and reward risk ratio interact, how structured analysis can support a more disciplined approach to evaluating trading opportunities. The objective isn't to predict the future or promise a particular financial outcome. It's about providing information, analytical tools, and a framework that traders can consider as a part of their own research and decision making. Financial markets involve risk. Past observations do not guarantee future results. Visit our website for more details. If you're interested in understanding trading from a more data-driven and probability-focused perspective, I invite you to join Alex and Sam for this new podcast series. This is Sapphire Capitals. Let's explore the data behind the markets.
Trading isn't about being right. It's about positive expectancy. Welcome back. Today, we're stripping away the noise of the financial markets to talk about something purely structural. We often see the markets portrayed as a game of guessing the next move, but in professional fintech circles, that's not how systems are built. Sam, you've been adamant that positive expectancy is the only metric that matters for a sustainable approach.
Yes, very much I am. But before we begin, would you like to talk about the important disclosure requirements?
Yes, most certainly. Financial markets are subject to extensive regulatory requirements that differ across jurisdiction. These disclosures explain the purpose of this presentation, its limitations, the risks associated with trading and investing, and other important information relevant to this content. Please take a moment to review the disclaimers shown in the following screens. We encourage you to read them carefully before continuing. Thank you for your time and attention.
Back on the subject of positive expectancy, absolutely, Alex. If you look at how institutional desks or high-frequency systems operate, they aren't looking for a crystal ball. They are looking for a mathematical edge. The biggest barrier for most people entering the markets is the belief that you need to be right 90% of the time to have a viable strategy. In reality, being right is secondary to the math of the system.
That's a significant pivot. Most people think of a failing grade as anything below 60 or 70%. You're saying that's not how the geometry of trading works?
Not at all. In fact, obsessing over win rates is often what leads to catastrophic risk. Positive expectancy is the mathematical proof that a system can produce a net positive outcome. Over a large enough sample of data, even if it's wrong more often than it's right. It's about the relationship between the frequency of an event and the magnitude of the outcome.
Let's get into the mechanics. How does a fintech professional define expectancy without the usual marketing fluff?
It's a foundational formula. You take the probability of a positive outcome multiplied by the average size of that outcome and subtract the probability of a negative outcome multiplied by the average cost of that outcome.
So if that final number is above zero, the system is technically profitable in a statistical sense?
Exactly. It's a positive expected value. Let's look at a logical scenario. Imagine a system that only has a 40% success rate. On 100 executions, 60 are unsuccessful. If each unsuccessful execution is capped at a unit of 1, but each successful one captures a unit of 3, the math is undeniable. You've lost 60 units, but captured 120. Your net expectancy is positive 60.
It shifts the focus from, will this trade work, to, does this system have a mathematical edge over 1,000 iterations?
Precisely. It turns market participation into a data management task rather than a series of emotional guesses. It's about professional restraint and allowing the law of large numbers to do the heavy lifting.
I want to address the skepticism. When we talk about probabilities, it's easy for people to think of the floor of a casino. How does a data-backed fintech approach differ from pure speculation?
That's a fair question. The difference lies in the source of the edge. A casino's edge is built into the rules of the game. It's a mathematical certainty. In the markets, an edge is found by identifying recurring anomalies.
Such as historical cycles or volume shifts?
Exactly. For example, look at seasonality data. We aren't guessing that a stock might rise. We are observing 20 years of historical patterns. That shows a specific recurring tendency during a specific window of time. When you combine that with volume analysis, you can see where institutional capital is actually being deployed. That isn't gambling. You are aligning your execution with high probability data sets.
So instead of being the person at the table hoping for a lucky break, you're essentially acting as the operator who only facilitates trades when the statistical parameters are met?
That's the most professional way to look at it. The operator doesn't care if the next single event is a loss. They know that as long as they follow the protocol, the positive expectancy of their system will normalize over time. This is why our tools at Sapphire Capitals focus on price action and intraday logic. We're providing the data that defines the edge, so the user can execute with the discipline of a professional desk.
If the math is so clear, why do so many people struggle to maintain a positive expectancy?
Because of risk of ruin. You can have a system with a massive positive expectancy, but if you overleverage or lack an exit protocol, a single outlier event can wipe you out before the math has a chance to work.
So, capital preservation is actually the engine that drives the expectancy?
Correct. You have to stay in the game to let the probabilities play out. Professional fintech systems use stop-loss protocols, not because they like losing, but because it limits the cost of information. A loss is simply the price you pay to find out that a specific trade didn't meet the criteria this time. It's business overhead.
I like that term, cost of information. It's much more clinical than losing a trade.
It is clinical. If you're a shipping company, you have fuel costs. If you're a trader, you have execution costs in the form of small, controlled losses. As long as those costs are dwarfed by the captured moves where the data was correct, your business is sustainable.
To wrap this up, Sam, if someone wants to move away from the hype and start treating their market activity as a data-driven business, where do they start?
They start by detaching from their ego. Stop trying to beat the market. Instead, look for tools that provide objective, quantifiable data, like our seasonality or volume spike apps. These aren't magic buttons, they are data filters. They help you find the zones where history and math suggest an edge exists.
Focus on the process and let the expectancy take care of the results.
Exactly. If the process is mathematically sound and the execution is disciplined, the outcome is a matter of statistics, not luck.
Logic over impulse. If you're ready to see the data behind the moves, head over to sapphirecapitals.com. Look at the systematic tools we've built to help identify these edges. Sam, thanks for keeping it grounded today.
Thanks, Alex. Remember, the math doesn't have an opinion. Use it to your advantage.
We'll see you next time.